Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're working our way through the upper room discourse, the farewell discourse that our Lord spake to his disciples just a few hours, perhaps even moments, before he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're gathered in the upper room. He has announced his departure to them. They are troubled. They are shattered in spirit, and these are his words of comfort and counsel and teaching to them, giving them a way forward. Our text this morning is the 25th and 26th verses, John 14, 25 and 26. Hear now the word of God. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. Every teacher knows that there is often a big difference between what you say and what your students hear. Haven't you found that to be the case, teachers? Haven't you found that to be the case, parents? And there's even a greater chasm between what you say and what they understand, what they comprehend of what you have said. All of us who teach would probably be quite disappointed in the level of understanding that our students really have of the truth that we have sought to tell them and to explain to them. They may be able to repeat it back to us with accuracy, but that is a far cry from really understanding it. And if that is the case with history and science and math, it is even more the case with spiritual truth, isn't it? Because when it comes to spiritual truth, we all have a natural disinclination and resistance to the truth. In fact, the Bible tells us that natural men cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And even when there has been the new birth, even when a person has a desire for the truth and a spiritual mind to ascertain it, still there continue to be many obstacles from the truth really being understood. Jesus has been teaching these men many precious truths this night. He has done so in order to console their grief. He has told them of dwellings in his Father's house. He's told them that he is going away to make arrangements for them so that they might dwell there too, and that he will most certainly go and return, and he will bring them unto himself so that they may abide with him forever. He's told them they will continue to do miracles, even greater miracles than the ones they've done already. He's promised to answer their prayers. He's pledged to secure another helper for them. He's assured them that they will not be left orphans because he will come to them. But how much of this did his disciples really understand? Jesus has been interrupted three times so far, and each interruption makes it evident they're not really getting it. I mean, you remember Thomas says he doesn't know what Jesus is talking about. Where is Jesus going? And how can we know how to get there if we don't even know where you're going? You remember that Philip thinks that seeing a theophany, a physical manifestation of God, will somehow give them more comfort than even the presence of Jesus or his promises would. And Jude can't figure out how in the world Jesus is going to restore the political kingdom to Israel without making himself seen by any of these rotten unbelievers around him. This does not look promising. And Jesus is all aware of this. He knows their frame. He remembers that they are dust. And he has made provision for their weak understanding. He has made provision for time to overcome their preconceived notions about all of this. He has made provision for their faulty memories. His answer to all of this is the 26th verse. In short, he promises that his teaching is not going to cease when he departs. He's telling them a lot of things this night. The hour is short, and there's so much to say. But his departure will not be the end of his teaching. They will be taught by the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Our theme this morning is taught by the Holy Spirit. Taught by the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 is a promise that believers will be personally taught by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. Now, I'm sure you immediately can perceive that that is a truth that could really be abused. The Holy Spirit personally teaching people. And no doubt a lot of havoc has been caused in the church when people have claimed revelations by the Holy Ghost. So what we're going to have to do this morning is carefully distinguish between the apostles and ourselves. We're just being consistent when we do that. We have had to do that many times already in John 14. We've had to draw a line between what this means for the apostles and what this means for us. We had to do this when it came to the working of miracles back in verse number 12. When he said, he that believeth on me, these works he'll continue to do, and greater works. And we had to draw a line from other information in the New Testament. And we had to say the apostles continued to work miraculous works in the days of the book of Acts until the completion of the canon. And then for us, this is a promise of doing greater works, of seeing men and women converted and brought into the kingdom. We had to do this with Jesus' promise about coming to them. For the apostles, his coming to them was a very literal coming to them in just 3 days in resurrection appearances. He's not going to leave them orphans. He will come to them, not to the world. No unbelievers going to see the resurrected Lord, just the apostles. And then for us, though, there are such a thing as manifestations of the Lord Jesus, as a closer walk with him in the Word, and he promises that we will come to know him more closely, more intimately, as we love him and keep his commandments. So we've had to do this kind of thing before. We've had to distinguish between what it means for the apostles and what it means for us. And so let's just start with that kind of distinction. What does verse 26 mean for the apostles? That they would be taught by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would bring everything to their remembrance whatsoever Christ has told them. And then, on the basis of that, we can move to what this means for us. So there can be no doubt that this promise in verse 26 has a primary reference to the apostles. They are going to be taught in a special way. Jesus' words are going to come to their remembrance in a very unique way. All you have to do to understand that is to think about what's going on here in this chapter. Who is writing this chapter? Who is putting the words on the page? John. He's writing this 50 years later. How can he write this dialogue out flawlessly 50 to 60 years after it happened? The Holy Spirit brought back to his memory everything Jesus had said. It was fulfilled to these apostles in a unique way. On its most surface, basic level, this promise of being taught by the Spirit in verse 26 has to do with the miracle of inspiration. Four of the men in that room are going to be used by God to write sacred scripture, and the Holy Spirit will breathe through those men his word. The four men, of course, would be John, Matthew, Peter, and Judas, not Iscariot, Jude. These men would be used by God to write down the words of God. The Spirit would breathe his words through these men. They were moved along by the Holy Ghost. Quite literally, these men were so controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit that their writings were without error. They were so taught by the Holy Spirit that they delivered the very mind of God to us in sacred scripture. And that miracle of inspiration, of course, extended beyond just those men in the room. There were other men such as Mark or Luke or the Apostle Paul or the writer of Hebrews or James, the Lord's brother, who likewise were uniquely taught by the Holy Spirit so that their writings were God-breathed. And the miracle had already taken place in history. All the writers of the Old Testament knew this miracle of being taught by the Spirit as well. David himself said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. His words were in my tongue. Solomon, his son, spoke of the book of Ecclesiastes and said that all these words were given from one shepherd. And all through his ministry, Jesus referred to the words of Moses in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy as the words of God himself. All these men were uniquely taught by the Holy Spirit. He brought all things to their remembrance. So on the surface, fundamentally, verse 26, this promise of God sending a comforter, the Holy Ghost, who will teach them all things and bring all things to their remembrance. On the surface, this is a promise of the miracle of inspiration. The Holy Spirit taught these men and caused them to remember with perfect recollection so that they could flawlessly proclaim the gospel and record God's words for us inerrantly. But is that all? Is that it for verse 26? It's a miracle of inspiration. It's for the apostles only. Is that it? Is this a promise for now? That believers now can be taught by the Holy Spirit himself? I believe it is. And we are desperate for this teaching. Notice how verse 26 begins. But the Comforter. This teaching ministry is one of the primary ways that the Holy Spirit exercises his office as God's, as our comforter. You remember what that word means. We talked about it back there in verse number 16. We talked about how the word's a very broad word, actually, not just the word comfort. It makes it sound like that his ministry is just to come to us in our trouble and to pat us on the back and to give us a hug. It's way more than that. It's a word that means strengthener or helper. It literally means to come to one's side. There are a lot of reasons for coming to someone's side other than comfort. Comfort would be one reason, but there are lots of other reasons to come to one's side. And so the word is a broad word, very similar to our word, helper. Helper is a very broad word, and it's a very similar word here. He is our helper. One of the aspects of the Spirit's help to us is this matter of teaching us. It's in the teaching that we find the help that we need. It's in the performance of this office that we are strengthened as we should be. We need this help. We need this strengthening. And he does this by being our helper in this way, teaching us in this way. Why is it necessary that God's people be taught by the Holy Spirit himself? Why are human teachers insufficient? We spend a great deal of time listening and reading other human teachers. Why is it necessary for us to be God-taught, to be taught by the Spirit of God? Well, maybe we can get at it this way. If you think back to the inspired writers of Scripture, was it enough for those men to merely have divine revelation given through them? Is that enough? Did Isaiah understand what he was writing in Isaiah 53? Did he comprehend Isaiah 53 when he wrote of the suffering servant? Did he understand what he was reading? He was an agent of revelation. God was teaching him in that sense, but did he understand it? You know, Peter says that the prophets inquired and searched diligently. They searched what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Isaiah did not understand Isaiah 53, but he penned it. What he needed was something beyond revelation. What he needed was illumination. The same is true of these men in the upper room. They have received divine revelation. The incarnate Son of God is standing in front of them and teaching them. And they're not getting it. What they need is illumination. They need to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. So what the Lord Jesus is clearly promising them is this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit that is designed to lift us up and help us in our time of need, when our hearts are troubled. The ministry that God knows that we desperately need, the ministry of illumination, of the lights coming on spiritually for us in our taking in of Scripture. God's Holy Spirit is not going to reveal any new truth to us. Everything we need is in Scripture. Everything we need for thorough equipping in good works is found in what God has breathed out through the apostles, the Holy Scriptures. So no one is receiving direct revelation today. The Holy Spirit does not continue to teach men in that sense. We will never be the agents of inspiration. We will never have the Holy Spirit breathe out through us new revelation. But we will have the blessing of the illumination of the Word. That's what this verse is saying to us. Do you know what it is to experience that? This is something that Christ has given you. This is something that is designed to strengthen you. It is simply not true that a person with adequate Bible training can truly understand with spiritual understanding the Word of God without his eyes being opened. No amount of language training, no amount of seminary, no amount of theological erudition, no amount of lifelong acquaintance with the facts of Scripture is enough for spiritual knowledge. We must have the illuminating grace of the Holy Spirit. We are desperate for the Spirit Himself to be our teacher whenever we open the Word. We have to have it. Even believers have spiritual scales on their eyes that need to be taken off. You think of the men on the road to Emmaus. They were believers in the Lord Jesus. They spent their time hearing Jesus. And all the time, they didn't even perceive that he was there. You think of Paul's prayers for the church at Ephesus, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. He's speaking to a church. This is something that believers are continually in need of. They're in need of being taught by the Holy Spirit. Do you recognize that need? Do you pray for open eyes every time you open a Bible? Unless in that moment of reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit opens the organ of your spiritual perception, and He Himself is your teacher, you will not really be benefited by Scripture. We're desperate for God Himself to be our teacher. How would we know that we are being taught by the Spirit? What are the marks of being taught by the Spirit? How would you know the Holy Spirit's teaching you? Let me say three things in answer to that question. How do you recognize being taught by the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced this? First and foremost, we have to recognize that the teaching of the Holy Spirit comes when the Scriptures are being properly handled. See, that you have to start there. There's more to it than that for sure. There is more to it than that. But you have to start with this objective reality that the Holy Spirit teaches when Scripture is being properly handled. We're not talking about revelations outside of Scripture here in verse 26. And furthermore, the Holy Spirit is not teaching when the Scripture is not being cut straight. The Holy Spirit begins His teaching when the Word of God is properly handled. If there's no Scripture, it's not Holy Spirit teaching. And if the Scripture is mishandled, it's not Holy Spirit teaching. We are not talking about coming to a crisis, having a decision that you have to make, flopping a Bible open, closing your eyes, putting your finger on a word. You put your finger on the word door. You say, all right, I was wondering whether this was an open door. It must be an open door. I guess I'm supposed to go work for this new company now because I've been taught by the Holy Spirit. Is that what we're talking about? No, it is not. We are talking about the teaching of the Holy Spirit that comes when His Word is properly handled, when it's being ministered, when the words and the phrases are being explained, when the teaching is fitted to the context, when it is according to the pattern of the whole faith, the pattern of Scripture as a whole. In other words, the Holy Spirit teaches when what he already taught in the Word is being explained. And that's what where we have to begin this morning. That's why we began where we began. That the primary reference of this verse is in the miracle of inspiration and how the apostles were taught by the Spirit in a unique way. You can't divorce verse 26 from that. That anchors verse 26. You will only be taught by the Holy Spirit as the Word of God is being ministered and cut straight, properly ministered. That's the first way you'll know that you're being taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, the second way is the subjective side of this. That was the objective side. He teaches through the proper handling of the Word. The subjective side is that when you are taught by the Holy Spirit, you end up with more than just an intellectual grasp of what was taught. This is where the illumination comes in. When you're grasping it not just with your mind, but you know that something's happening in your inner man, something's happening in your heart, you have a sense that you are being ministered to by God Himself. When the Holy Spirit is teaching, it seems like God has drawn near. The teaching itself has brought God near. You feel like those words have come right out of God's mouth for you today, for this purpose. It's like your eyes have been opened and you've been confronted with the living God and what He has personally said to you today. It's no longer just black symbols on a white page. It's not just exegesis. You can diagram the sentence. It's that it's God. It's God speaking. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. You feel like your heart is moved toward the Lord. You have a sense that you've been brought into His presence. And at this moment, you see those words are relevant for precisely where I am in life right now. It's like God spoke those words to me today, personally. And that's the help we all most need today. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our strengthener. And He promises to help us in just this way, to be our teacher so that the Word of God brings us in contact with God Himself. It's what you need. And Christ has promised that you shall have it. He promises that the Father will send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Strengthener, so that you might be taught inwardly like this, taught by the Spirit. And there's a third way to recognize the Spirit's teaching. There's the objective way. It is the proper handling of Scripture. There's the subjective way, that it's as if God Himself is speaking to you those scriptural words. And the third way you know has to do with the results of the teaching. If you look at verse number 26, what title other than Comforter does He give to the agent of this ministry, the third person of the Godhead? He calls Him the Holy Ghost. Now, our eyes go right over that because we're used to that. I mean, what else are you going to call the third person of the Trinity? That's His name. That's what we call Him. He is the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think about this. This is the first time in the book of John that Jesus is calling Him with that title. He has spoken of the third person of the Trinity before, but this is the first time He calls Him the Holy Spirit. And you think about this as well. He gave Him another title back there in verse number 17. What was the title there? Spirit of Truth. Wouldn't that make a lot of sense to repeat here in verse 26? He's talking about teaching. Why not call him the Spirit of Truth? Why not refer back to verse 17 and say, the Comforter, you remember, the Spirit of Truth, he shall teach you all things. But that's not what Jesus does. Rather, he wants to emphasize this about the Holy Spirit and this about his teaching. The Holy Spirit is holy, and his teaching is holy. There's a principle in Scripture that the disciple is not above his master, his teacher. The character of the teacher will be replicated in his disciples. That is a very haunting principle for me personally, and I hope that you will pray for me. That the character of the teacher is replicated in the disciples. But you consider that principle in the context of this verse. The character of the teacher is replicated in the disciples. How will you know if it's Holy Spirit teaching, that you've been taught by the Holy Spirit himself, that there's been this other level of teaching, not just to the mind, but to the heart? You'll know it because it produces holiness. That's how you'll know it. This third test of whether the Holy Spirit is doing the teaching is whether or not it produces holiness in you. His teaching will always make you want to be like God. When the Spirit is your teacher, you're humbled. Knowledge alone, what does Paul say knowledge does? Knowledge itself puffs up. But knowledge that comes by the way of this teacher, the Holy Spirit, it will humble. John the Baptist knew a lot. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. The Apostle Paul was taught by the Spirit. He said he was less than the least of all the saints. When the Spirit is your teacher, he will transform you. His teaching causes us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In the second epistle to Corinth, the apostle writes, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. His teaching transforms. His teaching produces holiness. His teaching humbles. This is the test of whether we have really experienced this ministry of being taught by the Holy Spirit. How far has your scriptural knowledge influenced your heart? How far has your scriptural knowledge governed your will? How far has your scriptural knowledge regulated your life? Does increasing light lead to a more tender conscience, more holiness? If the teaching is not leading to a more tender conscience, more holiness, more humility, more likeness to God, it is not Holy Spirit teaching. And it is in vain. Dear congregation, you know that it is possible to be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is something that we are warned about in Scripture. We need to be taught by the Holy Spirit himself. If the Holy Spirit is our teacher, then our experience is going to match the experience of the psalmist that we have been studying in Psalm 119. He said in verse 102, "I have not departed from thy judgments, because thou hast taught me." That is what produces real obedience in us. The Holy Spirit teaching us. So never be content with head knowledge. Do not fall into the trap that because you have learned something new, that you have increased in godliness. That is such a deceitful trap, isn't it? Deceitful trap. We assume that when we learn something new in the Bible that we have grown. And that is not necessarily the case. Growth is not learning something new. Growth comes as we are made holy by the Holy Spirit applying that truth to our hearts. Do not be content with teaching that leaves you dry and lifeless and cold. Pray to be taught by the Holy Spirit, that verse 26 would be your personal experience. Pray with the psalmist in Psalm 119 that we've seen so many times in the last couple months, where he prayed things like this: "Teach me, O God, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, that I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with all my whole heart. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from thy law." We all need this strengthening ministry of being taught by the Holy Spirit. May we seek it. May we pursue it. May we not be content without it. May we pray with more zeal for it, that the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in Jesus' name, would teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever Jesus has said unto us. Well, let's seek the Lord together and pray. Our Father in heaven, now we are desperate for you to apply this truth to our hearts. We can understand it with our minds, but we cannot grasp it with our inner man apart from the working of your Spirit. These things are spiritually discerned. And so open our eyes and be our teacher and unite our hearts to fear your name. And illumine the word to us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.